Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
One of the staples around Australia is when you go past certain houses and there's like a sign on a car that's burnt out that says for sale, inquire within, a couple of $100 just sitting there.
Yeah.
Should be going to the smash repairs or the wreckers, but want to get a couple of bucks for it. Something else that you see, unfortunately, around alleyways and things across the country is when you see those trolleys are a little bit hard on their luck, on their side, you know, just miles away from where they're supposed to be when it comes to Coles, Woolies, whatever the place is.
Just left in the streets.
You know.
Where are the trolley parents?
Yeah, I think, I'll be honest, I think most of the times that you see them sort of floating around, it can be after a weekend. I think a lot of people have mistaken them for an Uber back in the 1980s and 90s.
I think laziness as well plays a large part. Like, we were living near the Coles in Bega until we recently moved, and we had a house next door to us. And it was like, I don't know if a trolley boy lived there and he's bringing his work home or something, but we'd see like just trolleys piled up on the footpath and else, and you're like, the Coles you could see from our front door. It's like, it's not hard to wheel it back.
And a lot of people, you will literally go past the trolley bay. So it's like more effort to get it home if you're trying to steal it than it would just to be put it back.
Yeah.
I think they've tried to sweeten the pot the last 10 years or so by having the, you know, to put $2 in.
Yeah.
So it's like, whoa, yeah. I'm not willing to pay $2 for this trolley.
Oh, I left my Aldi token at home. I can't do it.
Maybe we'll start seeing those trailers when you go to the movies. It's like, you wouldn't steal a handbag. You wouldn't steal a trolley. We'll start to see that, but it looks like it has been a big problem. In the past, individuals have been the ones copping huge fines. A lot of the supermarkets were doing this, you know, basically rewards thing where if you brought back a trolley, they'd take your name and there'd be like a draw and you could win money. There'd be competitions.
Like trolley bounty hunters.
Trolley bounty hunters. And it's a couple of $1,000 usually for the fine for not bringing back a trolley. But as it turns out, it looks like they're more focused on the supermarkets not doing their bit when it comes to going out and finding their trolleys once again. I'm talking about they can get to some pretty big fines as well.
They've got 3 hours to pick these things up or they will be heavily fined.
So that means $660 for each pony, 10% extra for each additional head if they herd, with court-imposed fines.
Wow, that's full-on.
For the shopping trolleys.
So they're going to have, like, trolley rangers who
just
are just
driving
out
around
there, like in, like, helicopters, like, using drones to, like, try and keep an eye on where the trolleys are being taken.
Going to have to start tagging them.
This is
like cattle
on.
Or something like that. Yeah, so supposedly.
I mean, it is handy for those parents that maybe left a kid sitting in the front of the trolley and it's like, I'll give the trolley ranger a call. I'm not sure where I left
him. Yeah, that
him.
Was Mark Korn who was reporting there. He's basically the chair of the Impounding Act Review Committee. So looking at overhauling this whole thing. I like how they call it the impounding. What's going to happen to these trolleys? Like what? If they don't come within 3 hours and pick them up, they go to the scrapyard and all of a sudden, you know, they're being held hostage. What happens?
Yeah, it's like trolley prison.
Exactly right.
Out hardened with tattoos.
Yeah, exactly right. New lease on life. Yeah. What do you get a phone call from the guy that's running the impound lot? Is like all of a sudden he's like, hey, you've got 3 hours. You're like, 3 hours for what? He goes, for you to come and click and collect or I'm sending the wheels as collateral.
Oh,
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
Morning, how are we going?
Good. How's your mustache going? What have you grown out this year?
Oh, slowly but surely. It takes a little while to come into its own, but yeah, it's just sort of starting to sprout for the second half of the month, starting to show a bit more distinguished, which is good. How are the mows in there?
Yeah, mine's coming along nicely, although I noticed mine's got more greys on one side than the other. I think I have to get a Just for Men comb through on my mustache.
Yeah, you might have to get the go into the old Mrs. makeup bag and touch it up. Out a little bit. Yeah.
But yeah, it's coming along nicely. We're raising some money as well. We're trying to get to $1,000 to help out with Movember, which has been going for quite a while now, like 18 years. There'd be kids listening that weren't even born when this all started, but how did it all get started, Jake?
So this year we're celebrating our 18th birthday, and yeah, we were born back in 2003 when a couple of mates were sitting in a bar and they were catching up over a beer. And back in 2003, they decided that the mustache had unfortunately all but disappeared and that they wanted a way to highlight some problems in men's health. And then Movember was born. They got 30 of their best mates to sign up and grow Mo. So from those original 30 Mobros, we've grown to over 6 million Mobros and Mo sisters around the world.
I'm guessing they wrote down their ideas on the back of a coaster, because most of the time when Hutsy and I discuss ideas over a beer, we
forget.
Wake up the next day and go, what were we talking about? So No,
it sounds like it, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. How many of those conversations over the journey, over a beer in a pub, have amounted to nothing?
But then, yeah.
Then Movember, thanks to the community support, has just grown exponentially and we're able to make a real difference and change the face of men's health too.
Yeah,
it's a great way to start a conversation because, let's be honest, as men, we do know we're a bit backwards and coming forwards when we've got problems and things that need to be talked out.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, being able to find that right environment for guys to have those conversations and feel comfortable and safe and sometimes sitting down over a beer is the best way to do it, obviously responsibly though as well.
Of course.
Yeah, so far we're trying to aim for the $1,000 mark. We've got around about $800 we've raised so far. How much have you guys raised over the course of the 18 years? It'd be quite a bit, I would imagine.
Yeah, over the journey, we've raised $364 million in Australia, and we've been able to fund over 1,250 different men's health programs and research across the journey, but we know that there's still more to do. On average in Australia, men are dying 4 years earlier than women, and we know it's due to largely preventable reasons, and all the money we raise, it goes into our key cause areas, which are mental health and suicide prevention, because in Australia we lose more than six men each day to suicide. Prostate cancer today, because one in six men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime in Australia.
Mm.
And we also focus on testicular cancer because in Australia it's the most common cancer in young men, and we need all guys out there to understand their testicular health. So the community support over the last 18 years has been absolutely incredible, but we still know that there's plenty more to do.
All the men listening, check your boys.
Yep.
You mentioned before that, you know, overseas a lot of money has been raised. Obviously, Movember is huge here in Australia because it started here, but what are some of the other countries that get right into it this time of year?
We operate in 20 countries around the world, which is incredible to think, again, just from a pub in Melbourne. It's grown huge. We see people in the UK, America, Canada as well, all growing Mo's all around the world. So you wouldn't have to go too far, I reckon, to see a friendly Mobro this time of year, which we absolutely love. So you might see the Mobros with the moustache, but you can also sign up to Move for Movember, which is committing to walking or running 60 kilometres across the month. You can host a moment, a barbecue, a morning tea. My Career Club's doing a 2020 match in a few weeks' time just to get people together and start those conversations. And you can also mow your own way, which is a choose your own adventure, sky's the limit, seeing people do some absolutely amazing things, ultra marathons, all these sort of things, just to start conversations around men's health. So it's never too late to head to Movember.com and get involved.
Yeah, and if you are struggling to actually grow out that mustache, you can just get the permanent marker like I've done, so it's all
good. Just whip out the Sharpie.
Make it pop a bit.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, if you want more information, of course, you can jump on the Movember website, movember.com. You know, hit up our website as well, powerfmbigabay.com.au, if you want to help us out with our Movember fundraising campaign. Jake, thank you so much for catching up with us this morning, and good luck with growing the mo, bro.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you guys getting involved and also helping us extend those conversations.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Did you catch the finale of Parental Guidance last night?
No, I haven't seen any of this show whatsoever. I reckon if I would have started watching, I would have jumped in with 2 feet if I did. It looks like, it reminds me of like a Married at First Sight show, but with parenting, they all sit around
pretty
and sort of analyse the way their parenting skills are. And
yeah, it's kind of like the down the track version of Married at First Sight. They've married, things have gone well, now they have kids. Last night, it came down to two couples. You had the free-range parents, Penny and Daniel, and then you had the tiger parents, Kevin and Debbie.
So couples get eliminated throughout the whole thing, do they?
Yeah, they sort of narrow it down to the two parenting styles that they found were most effective. And yeah, I forgot the finale was on last night, and I went, oh, okay, let's find out how this all plays out. What do they think, you know, what do the experts believe is the best parenting style? Because the other parents vote on it as well.
Okay.
And so they've been given all these challenges throughout the series, but last night, for the finale, they gave them the most difficult one of all. They sent them camping, these final two families.
Can be fun, but stressful for the parents.
Well, at first, I went, oh, camping.
Yeah.
Talk to my partner. I was like, when's the last time we went camping? Yeah, because we got holidays coming up in February. So started thinking about maybe doing that. And then as the show progressed, my enthusiasm for camping waned. You had Penny and Daniel, the free-range parents. They've never been camping before. Neither of the tiger parents. They're in the car with the kids, Penny and Daniel. And the kids were excited about camping right up until the point where they got, when they had to break the news to them about the internet.
There's no reception out here.
No internet.
There's nothing. Nothing but bush.
Dad, did you get a hotspot?
Oh, my phone's gone. Everything's gone.
We need hotspot, baby.
we left a hotspot back in the city, the COVID hotspot. That's why we're going out in the bush.
That would have been a fun trip in the car, the kid the whole way going on about the internet and hotspotting.
Yeah. So meanwhile, the Tiger parents, Kevin and Debbie, the kids in the back, they were more worried about if they were going to live through the camping experience.
Do you think we can survive tonight?
There's like 20% or 10%, but I might die.
So what is it? No internet, fight or flight? Is
pretty
that how
much,
it works?
Yeah. No internet. Plus, they sent him camping at Wolf Creek, so it was like... meanwhile, her brother was worried about digging a hole, not for the bodies or anything.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you're going to go the full camping experience, the issue of toilets does get raised.
I don't want to dig a hole for toilet.
Okay, no. Leo, I think you only need to dig a hole for the big one. You know what? It's the only time I feel like to be constipated.
I love how Mum sees the silver lining. It's good to be backed up, kids. Keep eating your cheese. That's right. Get stuck in so you don't have to dig as many holes.
Oh, geez. It's been a long time since I've had to do anything like that when I've been camping. What do? Do you put a marker there so people know? Your other family members know where it is? Like, or you just sit there and go, like Marco Polo, you're like, warmer.
Yeah.
Warmer.
That's what I mean. Like, you've got the free range parents. I'm like, I don't know if I'd want my kids free range if they're just pooing randomly.
Yeah.
Or I'm like battery hens or something. But of course, I had to set up the tents as well. And unfortunately for Daniel, the free range dad, again, never been camping. So he was scratching his head over how to put a tent up.
We also didn't want him to know that we had no idea what we were doing. So.
Do you think that our tent is looking strong enough to withhold the wind?
Yes.
Kids are confident. They've helped dad put up the tent. Of course, next minute.
Oh, Dad, one of the things fell out.
Let it go. We'll sleep in the car.
Hilarious. The tent was literally blowing away like a kite.
Bye.
And Dad, like, he's obviously, you know, free range when it comes to the kids and the tents as well. He's like, just let it roam free. We're releasing it back into the wild. In the end, it was Penny and Daniel, the free range parents, who won the prize, which was like an all expenses family holiday to the Whitsundays in Queensland. The runners up, the Tiger parents. I think they got some new camping equipment from BCF.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.